Good morning and welcome, everybody, to Martinsville Community Methodist. It is a wonderful day outside. It's been a wonderful week. We're so glad that it's a beautiful spring day most of the days this week. And we just rejoice in the beautiful weather that the Lord is giving us. Also, we want to rejoice of our members that are here. But yet we want to lift up and pray for those that could not make it today. And of course, we have a few traveling. We pray for those also. So let us go ahead and move forward and open our service with prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice and we continue to pray that Martinsville Community Methodist can be a light here in the Martinsville community. We pray that as we reach out and try to touch souls and call them to you with your gospel message, that your word will not return void. We want to lift up the leaders of our Martinsville Community Village Council. We pray for them as they make decisions for the community. We also want to lift up our state officials and our local officials here in Ohio. And we want to lift up our federal government as they continue to go through an election year. And we pray again as please send godly men and women to be counselors and advisors to our national leaders. And of course, we pray that being an election year, that you will have godly men and women step up and take these political offices. Because we want to see your wisdom running our country. And of course, during this continual time of war, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel, because we know that's where your heart is. We ask all this in the name of Christ our King, as we step into a time to worship you. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. Lord Jesus, your love knows no limits. You meet us on our life's journey with healing and forgiveness. Let us lift up all the burdens of our hearts. Let us empty ourselves of the debris and broken pieces and allow Jesus to cleanse us. Lord Jesus, we will let go of all our burdens and worries and anxieties and commit our lives to you. Let us worship our God. Your hymnals to page 771, where we will read Psalms 36 together. That's page 771. Join me in the reading of the psalm. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. O Lord, humans and animals you save. O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house and give them drink from rivers of your delight. For with you is a fountain of life, and in your light we do see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. So ends the reading of the Psalms. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. This is the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Now please read along with me. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who was anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone who walks in the day does not stumble because he sees the light of the world, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking about literal sleep. So Jesus said to them quite plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Therefore, Thomas, who was also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she had heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw Mary get up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at her feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he had been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot, wrappings, his face was wrapped around with cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many Jews who came to Mary saw that what he had done and believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them things which Jesus had done. So is the reading of our word today. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer and ask that our eyes be open, that our hearts leap with joy to hear such great news that Jesus can raise the dead. And we know that Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary very much, and yet you chose this manner where he would die so that you could be glorified and that your name be spread all around Jerusalem and Judea, that you are the one who can save and no one else. And as we open up your word, we ask that you help us understand all these things. In the name of Christ, our King. Amen. Well, the dead man was raised, and many believed. But what did you hear in the story? This is a literal story, unlike some fiction or fake narratives that we read all the time. This really happened. Do you believe this story to be a literal story? Actually, no exaggeration, nobody trying to make a movie that says inspired by. No, this was the true story. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus called on God to bring his lifeless body back. And this is key. This is key to our understanding about the ministry of Christ. That Jesus can raise the dead, and he did it so many times, but this time it was a little different. Normally, if you listen to like the story of the official whose daughter died, and when they got there, he just went in and she just died recently. And many other deaths, they were recent, but this was 4 days. You know, 4 days, the body starts decomposing. As I read in there, Lord, there's a stench. By the way, for Lazarus' experience, he got to die twice, not once, twice. So how does this story relate to the issues of sickness and death? Because here in verse 4, it states, but when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in it. You hear the reasoning here, that this whole sickness is not going to lead to death, but the whole incident is going to lead people to God because it's going to glorify Jesus. And we can see this is not only stated here in this passage. If we go back to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we have another story. That's where Jesus was healing the blind man. And it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither this man's sin nor parents, but it was so that the works of God may be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as the day is light, and coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So I want you to understand that this sickness and disease and death, people get this idea that if they're following Jesus, they will not get sick. If they're following Jesus, they'll not experience death. But this story tells otherwise. It was one thing for have the blind man who'd been blind since birth to have his eyes opened, and we all rejoice in that. But to hear that Lazarus spent days of being sick, Jesus, who could have healed him, waited so that he would be glorified. So realize that your sickness, your discomfort, could all be part of God's plan to glorify himself. In fact, that's what the whole book of Job is about, where God is talking about his servant Job. Satan comes along and says, "Ha! Yeah, let's see, you strip him of his health and his family and everything, and he'll curse God." And he did not. He praised God. It was all done to glorify God. If your response to sickness brings someone to Christ and glorifies God, if your healing brings someone to Christ, if your death brings someone to Christ, you should rejoice, because this is what it's all about. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our health. It's not about how things happen around us. It's all about us being used by God to glorify the Son. So as, just like the rest of the world, our lives will be filled with sickness, with pain, we'll have anguish, we'll have broken hearts. This is all told in Scripture. This happened to many, many biblical characters. Except for us, we have hope. We've got the hope of Christ and the promises that he gives us. Nowhere in Scripture is there a life that is just totally blessed with health, with no trials, no difficulties, no death. They all died except for a handful. It's just not there. So our Lord uses these situations to glorify himself. So next time you are in these type situations, look around and try to understand how God is going to use this situation to glorify his Son. Now I want to go back to verse 6 and really stress this in that reading, where it says, "So he heard he was sick, and he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Okay, I want you to understand, this was done on purpose. Jesus specifically heard Lazarus was sick. It's a man that he dearly had a love for and a family with his brothers and sisters. They were very close to him, and he decided to wait on purpose. And in fact, in verse 21, Martha says quite plainly, as Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The word "if you'd been here," well, she didn't know that. All she knows is that he died, and if Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have died, but Jesus made sure that he did die on purpose because he could have saved him. But we don't know what God's plans are. Because we find out towards the end of the story is, because Lazarus died of this sickness, was raised from the dead, many people came to Christ. And this gets back into as you live your life and you go through these different difficulties, do you trust Jesus in the words? Because we all like to quote this verse in Romans. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. So do you hold this as a truth? Do you hold this to be true? So you get sick, seriously sick, you have great anguish, you lose a child. Can you hold on to this promise that God causes all things to work together for the good that love God? Here, in the story with Lazarus, Jesus had plans for Lazarus to die and be resurrected. He knew it was going to happen. Can you trust God when the chips are down, knowing that he's got a plan? And it may not mean that you end up on the better side of it from a worldly perspective. But our God's not looking at it from a worldly perspective. He knows that you're going to be with him in heaven, in this heavenly kingdom. So he does these things with that perspective in mind. Which is the next question. When we die, do we sleep or are we dead? Which is it? In verse 7, it says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea. And if I hop over to 10, 11 through 15, it says, then he said after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go so that I will awaken him out of sleep. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes, but I was not there, so that you may believe, and let us go to him. Why is Jesus using the word sleep? It was not the storyteller making some assumption, because they're saying these are actually Jesus' words. It wasn't some translation interpretation to use sleep or some other word, because Jesus is making it clear in his sentences as he's speaking that they heard asleep, like he's sleeping, he's going to get up after he's done catching up with his sleep. But the statement is clear that he is contrasting the difference between being asleep and being dead. So from Jesus' perspective, when we in Christ die, we are sleeping, waiting to be awoke. And Paul plays on this theme. Let me read in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So I want you to understand Christ talking about sleeping instead of being dead is a reality that comes down from heaven. Christ doesn't consider us dead. But only a call from God is all it will take to wake us. And this will happen at the rapture. So when we see God using our lives as a tool to bring others to Christ, this includes our death or sleep. Because from God's perspective, we're not lost. He knows exactly where we're at. So keep this perspective in mind, that God is using Lazarus's death as a witnessing tool. Unfortunately for Lazarus, He had to endure death twice, not once. But I'm sure from heaven's perspective, the results that were gained by Lazarus dying twice brought many to the kingdom of God. And as I was pointing out in verse 7, once again, they're going to go back to Judea. Note the word back to. They had just come from there. And his disciples, listening to this, weren't so sure about it. Because in 10, it says, in 12, it says, the disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. So they didn't want to go. They saw no reason to go. And then Thomas wraps it all up here and says, therefore, Thomas, who was called Didymus, said, his fellow disciples, let us go so we may die with him. The disciples had already determined that if the guy's asleep, even if he's dead, doesn't matter, it's not worth going back. It's not worth themselves dying for. Because regardless of the situation, from their perspective, if Lazarus is dead, it's done. There's nothing we can do about it. Or he's sleeping and he's sick and he'll recover. So what foolishness is it that we would get killed for either situation? But then Christ brings up this light and dark imagery, which is important. Because Jesus is telling the disciples, well, the power of Jesus is flowing, there is light, and the power of God can be released because we know the path that is being traveled. As now we can see that the daylight is fading. You can see there is coming a time when the power of Christ will not be flowing through his church. The light of Christ is turning dim, and so many of the churches and God's people can't see the path clearly. And during this time, we will see the power of God diminished. And that's what Christ is talking about. And then as Jesus shows up, as it says in 17, so Jesus came and he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. As I was saying, 4 days, your body starts to decompose. 4 days, body really starts to stink. Changes color, it deteriorates. Martha, as we read the part in 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God will be given to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So Martha knew Lazarus was dead, and there was no way back. And after 4 days with the body decomposing and stinking and no fridge to store the body in, it'd be pretty gross. And we're not talking zombie. Okay. And Martha's words confirmed directly what Christ had been teaching. That she knew that there would be a time of a bodily resurrection. They knew that at the end times, Christ promised that he would raise them all from the dead. But what Christ was saying to her is, do you believe in me? Not that she believed in the resurrection, but did she believe in Christ? And that's a good question, because that's a question that each of us has to continue to wrestle with. Do we believe in the words of Christ? Do we believe all the things that Christ promised will come true? But the great part of the story is Jesus demonstrates his power, which he has also given us access to that same power. I want to show you this. Verse 38, it says, so Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been there for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I say it, so they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. So Jesus demonstrated, but I want you to note, he didn't demonstrate his power. And though you hear through Martha's voice, that there was no faith anywhere. Because it was impossible. The guy had been dead for 4 days. They didn't have faith. They didn't say, Jesus said, roll the stone away. And they said, hey, great, Jesus is going to do it again. No. It was, don't do that. There's no hope. But in this, I want you to note, Jesus did not use his power as God to raise Lazarus from the dead. He prayed to the Father. He called on the power of God the Father, which we can do the same. It is done to bring the people of Christ the power of the resurrection. This is something Christ said that we would do even more than he did. And Christ did not do this just to give Lazarus a few more years of life. He did this to demonstrate that we too can call on the power of God the Father to do things that are absolutely impossible, even raise the dead. But I want you to note, and like I'm saying, it was not to glorify us, it's to glorify Jesus. And verses 45 and 46, at the end of this, therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary saw what he had done and believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. This great testimony brought a tremendous number of people to Christ, to believe in his power, to believe that he can bring people back to life, that there is a bodily resurrection. And so as we end our time looking at this story, we see that it teaches that suffering, pain, sickness, loss, healing, and death will all be used by God to glorify himself. It's not to make our life more comfortable. It's to glorify the Son And Jesus said we would do greater things than these. And just like Jesus, we can call on the power of God the Father Almighty. And also, Jesus explains quite clearly that those of us in Christ only sleep, waiting to be awakened by the trumpet call of God, not dead whatsoever at all. Close our time with the benediction. Grace, peace with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Go in peace.